Thank you, Don. It's a great pleasure to be here. I see a lot of familiar faces, so I feel kind of at home. I selected this topic because it's important to me, and it's close to my heart, and I'm very passionate about it. Agriculture research is essential for agricultural development. And I see it within working with a science agency within ARS as really a key to continuous sustainable agriculture productivity growth and in dealing with the very important issues of food security. So I want to thank you for coming and thank all of the people online, and I hope this will be a beneficial presentation to you. And we'll wait until the end, and if you have any questions, I will welcome that as well. So we'll be covering today to give you an idea about the agriculture research aspects and how that contributes to development. I will mention some of the things that we're doing here in the U.S. that deals with these very important issues and how public agriculture research deals with very vast challenges and important priorities for our country that covers all aspects of agricultural systems in the U.S. And the end result of that, our stakeholders and partners in other countries also benefit from that. And I will also give a case, and I'll mention it to you now. I'll be talking about the case of Brazil and how they transformed their agricultural system beautifully, and to the way they are really great producers. They're producing high-quality agricultural products, and they are number three, and I will talk about that, country in the world when it comes to trade that deals with agriculture, such soybeans and other products. I will mention also just briefly on how our department, and I'm not representing the department here, but I'm representing my agency and the things that we're covering under Feed the Future initiative, and how we're contributing in terms of we're showing a great initiative in dealing and bringing our capacity and leveraging that with our in support of USAID and in support of Feed the Future initiative. And then I'll talk about other areas quickly about the different partnerships we have ongoing. So what differentiates what agriculture research? The fact that it has very different characteristics that are vast, that are hard to really, difficult to control unless we have a mass effort in dealing with many challenges because of the different unpredictability of agriculture production when it comes to plants and animal health issues. That requires greater effort on a sustainable basis to maintain the kind of preventing diseases, dealing with diseases, and improving the genetic diversity of our plants and animals. The influence of weather is very particular now in dealing with the different climatic change that we have in the U.S., and we try to devote specific targeted research to specific areas of production systems in the U.S., and that's also true anywhere in the world. So the structure and the size is vast. And that's important to maintain that all sizes don't fit all. So we have to tailor specific issues when it comes specific strategies to specific problems. And the different cropping systems and the different diffusion and farmers' disbursements, and where we grow different things, sometimes similar things, but our effort, it's really hard to coordinate unless we have specific either local and regional strategy. The public sector provides fills the gap where the private sector does not. In many cases, we're dealing with small farmers. There are really specific crops that that does not bring any interest from the private sector to make it commercially viable for them to do anything with that. And so our role here is to, within Agriculture Research Service and other public research entities within the land-grant communities, is to research community, help us bring and target farmers and crops that are not commercially viable for and that require with no incentive from the private sector to invest in. Serves the national interest where we are when we're talking about, for example, when it comes to zoonotic diseases, when dealing with animal health issues and plant health issues. And I will mention some of that quickly in my talk. Unless we deal with it, and unless we have the capacity within government to deal with these important issues, so with the help and coordination with sister agencies, ARS works with APHIS, for example, and dealing with the zoonotic diseases that is of great importance to the U.S. and prevention, preventing these kind of diseases from coming to the U.S. and have a strategy that requires unified, coordinated effort that deals with these issues. This is on the animal side. This is true also on the plant side when it comes to plant diseases such as citrus greening, UG99, and other rust disease that targets soy, for example. That's there also an important national security issue here that where our national research entities within government devotes much of its resources to ensuring the food safety, all aspects of the whole chain that is secured. And if there is anything when it comes to outbreaks, we are aware of and we know, we have an idea about what to do when it comes to that. So that's, I mentioned all of that and I will run through this. So in summary, this, whatever we do within government, whatever we do in the private sector, in the public sector, I'm not taking away anything. This is, and I just want to make this point. I am not saying the private sector, the public sector should be taking all these initiatives on with them. This is, should be coordinated where we have the public sector will have a role to play as well as the private sector. Public-private partnership that feeds into what we try to do in the U.S., and this is a model that must be applied everywhere else. So it's essential for us, and I mentioned some of that, the food security aspect when it comes to conservation, watershed management, the nutrition aspects for the public in maintaining and dealing with these whole issues with, for example, obesity now, nutrition. You have to have intervention from government entities to keep research ongoing, to keep up with the technology, to keep up with in addressing the public concerns when it comes to nutrition, for example. And I mentioned the national security aspect when it comes to food safety and bioterrorism in maintaining pathogens under control and to ensure the safety of the public. The non-research public aspect the public good of that is having the infrastructure and the capacity from the scientific capacity to the infrastructure and labs. And for us, it's a joint effort where we have coordinated our effort within government to work closely with our land-grant university community to ensure that everything is coordinated and maintained, where we can have a joint linkages between what goes on in academia as well as within research, within the research community within government. So I mentioned some of that, the food security. These are the latest, the challenges, the 21st century challenges that we are dealing with. Food security, even in the U.S., we have, and you're aware of that, that we have certain poor people cannot afford certain things. They pay high cost for the food. Much of their income goes on spending on food. That's true everywhere. Food safety, nutrition and health, bioenergy, and looking at alternative crops to bioenergy, it's essential in maintaining the price of crops that are utilized right now, like corn, for bioenergy as a resource. The climate change aspect, and in dealing and coming up with strategies to deal with mitigating climate change. And adaptation, of course. So I will, so the role of science here is to come up with a new increased nutritional foods within the crops when it comes to biofortification or other aspects of improvement in genetic, genetically modified or bioused, increase the productivity of crops. Natural resources are limited, so strategy is to really keep on focusing on how can we maintain, how can we optimize production with the current resources we have. And I will also address some of that. And I mentioned we have to devote much of what we do right now in dealing with the alternative to bioenergy crops that we are currently using, such as corn. The climate change from adaptation and mitigation, we have a strong and important role to play. So you've seen this many times. I'm not going to touch on it. The idea is clear. By 2050, population will be about 9 billion people. We have to double our production. We have to be optimized and keeping in mind the current resources that we have. With that, what we need to do, the growth will be the current growth is about 1.4%. This is a total productivity factor that we have to, meaning that we have to maintain increased productivity, not production, to meet the demand and at about 1.7% by 2050. For many years, we have in the 60s, productivity was the result of the agricultural revolution, emphasis on fertilizers and irrigation. We increased production. Right now, emphasis, the latest, is really to emphasize production on by enhancing and improving the total productivity factor. And that's very important. So with that, we see opportunity as well. So the opportunity here where we see China and Brazil, for example, are really progressing and using the very important technology and making it adaptable to their countries. And I will mention China. They're at 2.5%. The result of that was to utilize technology, make it adaptable to their needs, and enhance productivity. And the same is true with Brazil. So the opportunity here that we see is, and I was surprised to see that actually former Soviet Union countries are at 0.6%, slightly higher than sub-Saharan African countries at 0.5%. So clear potential for sub-Saharan countries productivity growth that can, where we can optimize the current resources available. Instead of expanding resources, let's utilize and optimize productivity from the current resources available. Same is true with, I'm not going to touch on the former Soviet countries, but clearly Brazil at 2.4% total productivity factor. So how do we close the gap? By investing in agriculture research for many years. And from my experience as a farmer myself, recognizing that agriculture technology research, the scientific needs to tailor it to specific areas is really essential in closing the gap. So investing in agricultural science is essential to improving that. And with that comes, you need the commitment and leadership of countries to really to move their nations forward. By maintaining and doing the same thing over and over again, we're not going to really progress, and we are basically setting ourselves to fail again. So this is an opportune time now that we can emphasize on building the capacity, the scientific capacity, by investing in the human capacity as well as infrastructure to provide some kind of opportunity for countries to tailor and address their own agricultural priorities through science. And so demand growth, poor countries where opportunities of rising productivity, and I talked about that in the previous slide. And in order for us to increase productivity in these countries, we must optimize productivity from the current resources available. So I want to talk, I mentioned Brazil. Just before I move on to the next slide, Brazil in the 1970s was a developing nation, they struggled with poverty, they struggled with lack of, with food insecurity, didn't know how to really deal with the population growth. They could not provide enough food for the people to meet the demand. So the country as a whole, the leadership, took a very important initiative and worked with closely with USAID at the time in the 70s to enhance their agriculture to come up with an idea, a strategy, to improve their agricultural systems and productivity, and invested in the human capacity by training scientists, as well infrastructure. And the result of that, so if you could see the green, I mean the red line there, that's the current level of productive land, basically. And you have the blue is production. The green is productivity. And focused their strategy, much of their strategy, on productivity rather than expansion of resource of additional land. They could do that by, obviously, the deforestation and bringing new land into productivity. But they elected, and that's becoming much more, they're stressing more on that now more than ever. Because of the how much attention the world is paying to what goes on when it comes to the rainforest in Brazil. So they're emphasizing, and for them to be sustainable, they emphasized on technology. Technology that is adapted to their needs and to improve productivity rather than expanding the resources, the natural resources. And that's the end result. And so you have, they doubled their production when it comes to beef, milk, vegetables. And the end result was they're from net importers to net exporters of food in a very short period of time. 40 years ago, their GDP was about $45 billion. Right now is at $2.87 trillion. their investment in science doubled. It's about 2.85% of their GDP, maybe slightly less. And that's a commitment from the Brazilian government. So I borrowed this slide from our Embrapa colleagues. So we're established in 1973. Right now they employ about 9,000 people. The total scientific human capacity, they have about 2,024 people. PhDs, and that's really where they emphasized and invested in. They have 1,600 scientists with PhDs. Much of these scientists were U.S. trained, went back, and contributed to their economic and agricultural development. And what's interesting about all of that is they tailored their research to the specific needs of their people. They devoted much of their resources to dealing with crops that are of great importance to their people, from beans, from sugarcane, to anything that is can be used as cash crop, and then on the mano kind of cropping system that where to make the soy production is really huge now. And so, which led us now to believe and to where now they are partnering with AID on several projects in, around the world and in Africa right now, in Mozambique, one example of that partnership. So in Africa, the funding level of science remains low, with the exception of four countries, and say Mali or I think South Africa, some other nations that have devoted 1% of their GDP to enhancing science. And they're making progress. But the capacity is still low. Their laboratory is still suffering. Little practical training for researchers. There is a gap and this between academia and their ag research centers. And that's something should be addressed. There is no linkages. Unlike ARS and other science agencies here in the U.S. where you have co-located, where you have the government agency, research agencies working closely with scientists in that particular region to deal with specific problems. And, of course, the obvious one, it's the poor governance and the whole, the lack of leadership to really bring these countries to the next level, like Brazil and other nations. So food security, I'm not going to, so in order for us to deal with these very important issues, countries have to address these important areas of research to deal with their own challenges, from training to identify and develop and release markers of lions to enhance the capacity of breeders and provide them with the opportunities for training to maintain their biodiversity in both crops and livestock. So let me touch on the Feed the Future quickly here. And some of you are aware of what how we got together and working closely with the AID, USDA AID, and state in dealing and supporting with Feed the Future initiative. And just this is really a unique opportunity for us on the Feed the Future to have this close partnership with the AID. And we very much appreciate it and welcome it. And we are committed to doing our best and providing our part and contribution to the strategy. So the focus, as I mentioned, on nine countries where USDA has the capacity and that can leverage to deal with in addressing Feed the Future priorities. And focus on transformative areas for research and advanced productivity, and that's in dealing with the different crops in these countries that of great importance to them. So we'll focus on that. And let me just. So AID and USDA worked closely and came up with the agriculture research strategy in support of Feed the Future. The strategy came about of many discussions, workshops, where contribution, where many scientists from academia here in the U.S. and abroad, in also surveying the different missions of these targeted countries under Feed the Future. And these are the priorities. And the agenda is to advance the productivity frontier, breeding and genetics, transforming production systems, and enhance food safety and nutrition. So these were the main focus areas for Feed the Future research strategy. I will quickly talk about this. This is, so when it comes to genetic resources and maintaining the biodiversity aspect of breeding and to enhance the and ensuring that we have the varieties that are resistant to serious diseases, we maintain a germplasm collection that we are to keep and to ensure that our scientists, the scientific community, have access to that, and to ensure that we have and maintain varieties that are resistant to the different diseases. And by the way, ARS provides this to anyone, any scientist anywhere. If just write an email with a specific variety that you want, we will be able to disseminate it at no cost. We have cutting-edge technologies that we are working on within Agriculture Research Service. And this technology that can be at some point disseminated to countries to optimize, in this case, would be dairy production. And so we are under about to implement this kind of technology here in the U.S., the SNP technology, by through these genetic markers. We made this effort efficient, and I will give you an example. I'm not an animal health or production expert, but I can tell you that I was told for a bull to be a productive bull and to be able to breed, now they made the selection. You had to wait about 7 years for to identify a bull that can be productive and provide you with the best genetic aspects to enhance and maintain high level of productivity. Now it takes no time. As soon as the bull born, you know this is a good bull. So to ensure that we have a productive and enhance, to ensure the productivity and enhancement of the dairy industry. So, and I will try to wrap it up. This is, so we talked about the research strategy, we talked about Feed the Future, and at some point, Administrator Shaw and our Secretary Vilsack signed an MOU to formalize this partnership to really take advantage of our capacity and leverage it in a formalized way under Feed the Future. So they signed this MOU, the Borla Commemorative Research Initiative, to develop and co-fund research collaboration between us, between USDA and USAID, and expand research collaboration with the CG system, and align U.S. government current research, ongoing research, with the research required under Feed the Future. In addition to that, to be able to co-fund and coordinate innovative public-private research, and we have, and I will quickly mention some of that. So these are the research priorities that were identified after extensive consultation with the missions, and resulted also from the different workshops that AID organized. And the end result was these are the priorities. UG99 wheat stem rust, livestock production and health, post-production, mycotoxin. And I will be happy to talk about all of that. In addition to all of this, we have been engaged for many years in dealing with aflatoxin in Africa. We have ongoing relationship with many of the CG centers there, as well as the national research centers in countries. And we have been active. But this is where now we can leverage Feed the Future resources to make an impact and scale it up, as you like to say it at AID, scale it up. So that's what we're trying to do. Important partners that we work with, we work with the CG centers. The Chinese Ministry of Science and Technology wants to work closely with us in dealing with Feed the Future. Embrapa, we have a coordinator from Embrapa at our office, actually, and where we have several Brazilian scientists working with us right now, about six of them. But we also have 25 postdocs. So there are, again, they're investing. With CIMIT, I mentioned that, so they're all part of the CG. So the aflatoxin work is going on in Africa. It's coordinated and in partnership with IITA. CIRAD worked with us on the cocoa production in partnership with Mars and other chocolate industry here in the U.S. and abroad, in maintaining Mars as well, maintaining the productivity and ensuring that diseases are dealt with in this very important cash crop in Africa. So with that, I thank you very much, and I welcome any questions. So the key point is really not to forget and not to keep in mind anytime you're thinking about a strategy, think about how we can improve the system in place within government, any foreign government that we're dealing with. And slowly but surely, if you emphasize the importance and you're working on a small model that can be from a localized to become a regional and eventually can be expanded to other countries, government agencies, they have an important role to play here in the U.S. and abroad. And if you don't have that, you don't have a sustainable growth in production, and you need and productivity as well. And the reason why I'm saying that is we're dealing with the poorest of the poor, and for them, government has to play an important role in dealing with this important issue. So with that, thank you.